her into the water so she could get used to the temperature. Walking us toward the back wall, I sat so she straddled me. Her hair brushed over my chest, tickling my skin. We're heading back to the city tomorrow. She arched her back so her nipples moved closer to my face. But I want to keep you here. Tie you to my headboard with that flannel you just took off me, and keep you captive with my tongue. There was just enough light to show the pleasure that was spreading over her face, the war that was raging in her eyes. She wanted to stay. Hell, we both did. But it wasn't possible for either of us. She wanted to find a balance, and I needed to find one too. Derek. It came out as a moan. She kissed me, her pussy leaning against my dick, grinding over the side of it. It's so tempting, but I'd never surface again, and that wouldn't be good for either of us. She was right, but being in the city meant my time was filled with timber towers and construction issues, safety concerns, budgets, investors nagging me about deadlines. And Randy. Keeping Frankie here meant the only things I had to worry about were making sure she was happy, and that she came. Constantly. It was time for that. "Can I try something?" she asked. I wrapped my hand around her ass, gently probing the tip of my finger into that hole. Her breathing sped up and her lips parted. "What is it?" I could see the apprehension on her face. Still, she reached down and took my finger out of her. Then she held both of my hands and placed them on the rim of the tub. "I want you to keep your hands there and don't move them." I laughed. Fuck, I couldn't help it. She was giving me a demand, a ridiculous one. Not touch her. That was impossible. Something I wouldn't even consider. "Frankie, please, Derek." She moved closer, her lips tracing my beard, then running around my ears and across my nose. "Let me take what I want. At my pace. Just tonight." She dipped a bit lower until her teeth were nibbling across my lips. "If you hate it, you can have me any way you want me. But for right now, I want you my way." That wasn't something I'd ever granted any woman I'd been with. If they rode me, it was because I told them to. Frankie wanted the power, the control I'd been denying her. I wanted so much to give it to her. I wanted to see what she would do with it. "You're not going to make me beg, are you?" As tempting as that is. The light from the tub shone across her face. Her eyes did her begging for her. Her mouth was still open, lust dripping from her wet lips. "I won't make you beg." I rolled my shoulders back and gripped the tub even harder, showing her how seriously I was taking her command. "Take what you want." "No stipulations, no rules." "I'm giving you control. If you do something I don't like, I'll tell you. The same way I'd expect you to tell me." Her mouth went to my neck, and she began to kiss across it, up my throat and over my chest. Her pussy pressed against my cock, rubbing up and down it, but not allowing it inside her. I just wanted a taste of her wetness. I needed it. "Let me feel." Her mouth silenced me. Every part of me was fucking screaming for her, and she wasn't allowing me to tell her. Now I knew how she felt. As much as I wanted to flip her over the side of the tub and plunge my hard cock deep inside her cunt, I wouldn't. The suspense of what she was going to do was intensely erotic. "You like this, don't you?" She bit the corner of her lip again. "I do." She glanced behind her as if she were assessing how much room there was. "And I know you're going to like this." She unhooked her legs from around my waist and twisted her body until she was floating on her stomach. She held my eyes before ducking her head under the water. My lids closed as her lips wrapped around my dick. "Fuck," I hissed. Her tongue flicked over my crown and around the sides of my cock. She was taking me in deep, my tip hitting the back of her throat. Her hand was on my balls, rubbing them as she lifted her mouth and dipped. She came up for air, and then she went down again. I squeezed the tub so hard, tempted to rock my hips forward and jam it back down her throat. But I didn't. I couldn't. I'd promised to give her the control. I had to keep my word. It was damn hard, and yet it was the biggest turn-on. She came up for another breath and sank down again. The pressure she used to suck me off showed how much she enjoyed it. It felt as if she couldn't get enough of it. Enough of me. "Frankie, fuck," I moaned. She surfaced and looked at me, her long lashes wet and framing those perfect gunmetal eyes. "Yes? Unless you want me to come." "I haven't given you permission to do that, Derek."
"Then you'd better slow down."
She smiled. It was a little cocky and much more confident than I'd seen on her before. "Maybe you'd better learn how to fight the urge." My eyes traced her lips.
That spicy fucking mouth.
"Fight it. Now." She sounded so much like me, and I could see how much she liked it. Her lips parted as she dove again, sliding over the tip of my cock. It felt so good, I thought the cum was going to shoot straight out of me in one stroke. I shook my head, taking my mind somewhere else, but it wandered to her ass that was arched over the surface of the water. It was perfectly sized for my hands to grip and squeeze before her flesh curved up and folded toward her hole. A hole I wanted to be inside of. As if she knew or could tell, she sucked even harder, making another quick return for air before diving back down. I gripped the tub tighter and tilted my head back, closing my eyes so I couldn't see her. Only feel her. The way her tongue flattened and twirled around my shaft as she deepened. How her hand lifted when her lips rose. How more of her fingers were on my balls. The combination of it all. God damn it. I was close. She surfaced, and this time she stayed up, her mouth hungrily kissing mine. Her hands wrapped around my neck and she rubbed her clit against the tip of my cock.
"Frankie," I mumbled into her mouth, "I want you. So fucking bad."
She moved to my neck, my chest, her hand tugged on the whiskers of my beard. She didn't pull hard enough to cause any pain, just enough to know she was there, that she was using the sharp bristles to keep her floating above the water.
"Shit,"
I sighed when she slipped the tip of me inside her, no more than a few inches, squeezing it in, then sliding it out.
"What do you want, Derek?"
I knew how much she liked the way I teased her, the way I controlled her body. So this was what it felt like. As much as I didn't want to admit it, I enjoyed the control she had over mine.
"Your cunt. I want to be deep inside your fucking cunt."
She dropped down, giving me the depth, the pressure, everything I had asked for. And she stayed down, her fingers digging into my shoulders, her free hand reaching behind her so she could touch my balls.
"How does that feel?" she asked.
She moved her fingers in a circle, touching them just firmly enough.
"You're so tight."
She shifted her hips forward and rocked them back. "And your pussy is so fucking wet." She was grinding over my dick, turning her hips in half circles over and over and fucking over again. She was tightening, so I knew this was feeling just as good for her.
"Do you want to touch me?"
Her lips were so close to mine as she spoke.
"Yes."
"Where?"
"Your tits."
I was doing everything I could not to come.
"What do you want to do to them, Derek?"
Her grinding was getting faster. Now she moved in full circles, her body leaned back, her shoulders resting over the water. Her tits bounced every time she slid down over me.
"I want to suck your nipples deep into my mouth and flick the ends with my tongue."
"And then?"
Her pussy tightened even more. "I want to bite them, harder than I ever have. So hard it'll make you scream and buck and quiver against me. It'll feel so fucking good. The sensation will shoot all the way down to your clit."
"Oh my God." This was nothing like the last time she'd ridden me. Here she was giving me all her power, all her speed, all her tightness. And although we were in water, I could feel her cunt dripping over me, the snugness of it milking me.
If she didn't come soon, I was going to.
Your dick, she moaned.
Tell me. It feels unbelievably good. I can't get enough of it. Of you, Derek. She released my balls and pulled herself up so she faced me. Her eyes were fierce.
Kiss me.
We moaned as our lips touched. I held still, letting her control every movement, her pussy still riding and clenching me, her tongue circling mine. She pulled away slowly, resting her nose against my beard.
Come, she breathed. Now.
I growled as she tightened around me even more, her nipples rubbing over my chest.
I can feel you coming and it feels so fucking good.
Her shuddering pumped my dick, each thrust pulling my cum closer to the tip. I kissed her, and while I devoured her mouth, I fired my load until I was empty. When we both stopped moving, she took my hands off the tub and wrapped them around her.
Hold me.
It was the first time she had ever asked for that.
You are the one in command here, I told her.
Her body rested on top of mine and I held her cheek and kissed the top of her nose.
Thank you, she said, for giving me what I wanted.
I wanted to give her so much more, starting with the truth about my past. And I would. I had to. It was just going to take time.
You're incredible, I told her. All of you. Just incredible, Frankie.
Does that mean you're going to let me do that again? I laughed, kissing the sweat from her forehead.
I'll think about it.
I slid her legs around me and moved us closer to the steps. In the meantime, I'm going to carry you upstairs and put you in the shower.
That sounds relaxing.
Relaxing? I laughed again. I'm going to eat you as soon as I wash you, and then I'm going to fuck you again. I pressed my lips against hers so she could feel my words.
And again.
There would be no relaxing tonight.
12. Frankie. With a notary standing at my side, I laid the contract on my father's desk. It was signed in all the places that required my signature, initialed at the bottom of each page and notarized, as he'd requested. My attorney had defined each of the obligatory terms that had been set for me, including the leasing and commercial divisions that I would acquire if I grew the residential sector and continued to maintain my responsibilities. It stated my pay increase as division CEO, and the salary that would be paid out to my father. There would be no buyout. He would continue to receive a substantial income until he died, or for as long as the company was an active business. Bree would be my assistant for the next few months, supporting me in my new role, while simultaneously hiring and training three new assistants who would take her place. Then she would move to the leasing division, a promotion I had alerted her to this morning. It was a division that had interested her from the moment she started working for me. When we had discussed a promotion in the past, she'd been very clear that it was where she wanted to be placed, and so she would. Once she was comfortable with all facets of operations, she would manage the entire branch. She would still report to me and to my father until he retired. Eventually, the leasing agents and account managers would report directly to her. She deserved the promotion, and she was more than ready for it. My father leafed through the contract to make sure I had followed his instructions, I assumed. Then he flipped to the final sheets where the appendices were listed.
Do you have any last-minute questions? He asked.
None. He was silent while he read my additions.
These all look fine to me.
He wrote his initials next to mine at the bottom of each sheet. The notary witnessed our signatures on the final page and stamped it. The sheets were placed in an envelope, picked up by my father's assistant, who would forward them to his attorney, where it would all be processed and recorded. It all felt very formal, and my father had insisted we keep it that way. When we were finally alone, he held his hand out for me to shake.
Congratulations, Frankie.
Even though I knew how he was, I still thought the gesture was cold. An embrace would have been much more fitting for the moment. But I said nothing. I simply smiled, took his hand, and shook it. Thank you. I was so relieved the paperwork was complete. I hope this means you'll be relaxing a lot more.
That's my plan. Although I still have 2 divisions to oversee, and a new division head to train, so I won't be doing that much relaxing.
Bree won't require much training. She's a fast learner, and she's already familiar with many of the responsibilities. It should be a smooth transition. He leaned back in his chair and crossed a foot over his knee.
I was talking about you.
I wasn't anticipating that response.
But yes, I expect that both of you will handle the workload and transition just fine.
I sighed and glanced around the room, appreciating the size of his office, the amount of natural light that poured in. It was situated on the corner of the building, with 2 full walls of windows. I wouldn't take over his office, even when the other divisions were turned over to me. It didn't feel right. Even though I intended on running things my way, there would always be a place for him within this company. Keeping a space for him ensured that. I won't disappoint you, I said, meeting his stare again.
Has Mr. Block signed off on the 1st 2 offers?
I laughed inwardly and nodded. For once, I wished he would at least acknowledge one of my comments. He's dropping off the paperwork in a few hours.
He's not sending it over by messenger.
I know you've wanted to meet him, so I asked him to come in. It may have seemed like a giant step to bring both my worlds together. But in my mind, it was just another client meeting. When my father met Derek, he wouldn't know he was also meeting the man I was dating. That introduction wasn't something I was ready for, especially considering that Derek and I were still working together.
I'm looking forward to it.
He turned to his computer, signaling that our conversation was over. I stood from my chair and walked to the door. I'll send him in once he arrives. When I returned to my office, I sent Derek a text. Me. My father plans on meeting you today. Don't forget. Derek. Before or after I lock you in your office and eat your pussy on top of your desk. A thin layer of sweat grew over my skin as I thought about Derek's mouth on me, his beard brushing across my inner thighs, his tongue finding its way inside me. A few days ago, I'd given Derek a blowjob just minutes before I'd gone into my father's office. The guilt had been too much, and I'd almost ruined my relationship with him. I couldn't let that happen again. Me. You'll meet him before you touch me. Derek. I'll see you and your pussy very soon. I was finishing up an email when I felt Derek in the doorway of my office. It was more than just hearing his boots on the floor. I felt his gaze, his eyes swallowing me, and my body acknowledged all of it. My skin tingled, my breath hitched in the back of my throat. He made me wish I was standing naked before him, so he could do anything he wanted to me. Hi, I said, smiling at him. I folded my hands over the top of my desk so I wouldn't fidget. His presence didn't make me nervous. It made me feel as if I weren't in control of my body. He leaned into the doorway with his feet and arms crossed, the papers in his hand tucked under his elbow.
Frankie.
Why are you so far away? He looked behind him, then back at me.
I'm just admiring what's mine,
he said in a tone that was demanding and extremely cold. His. After our weekend together, his words were neither surprising nor frightening. It was what I wanted, and I would take as much as he would give me. It had been a full day since he dropped me off at my condo. I'd thought about him from the moment I had watched him drive away. My bed felt empty without him in it, as did my body. I craved his touch and his presence. Find a balance, I reminded myself. I moved over to him, keeping a bit of distance in case anyone was watching us from the other side of the door. I'll take those. He placed the papers in my hand, and I reviewed them quickly, to make sure his signature was in all the right places. It looks perfect. He didn't respond, I knew by the way his boot was tapping the floor, by the bleakness that was now in his eyes, that something was really bothering him. "Do you want to tell me what's wrong?" Only a few hours earlier we were flirting via text. What had changed since then? His gaze didn't warm at all.
"We'll talk later."
"Let's reschedule. My father will understand."
"No."
His tone softened a little, though I wasn't sure if it was for his sake or mine.
"I want to meet him. We'll talk afterward."
"Then let's get this over with." It was honestly how I felt. The meeting with my father had become so insignificant in comparison to whatever was going on with Derek. He moved aside as I passed, his fingers grazing my waist. The sensation shot down my navel and went straight to my folds. Goosebumps rose over my skin. Trying to ignore what he had stirred, I carried the papers over to Bree's desk. "Here's the signed offers," I said to her. "I'll email them to the buyer's attorney."
"Thank you."
I glanced over my shoulder at Derek. "Follow me." I heard him say goodbye to Bree before he caught up to me in the hallway.
"He's been anxious to meet you," I told him. "Because I'm seeing his daughter, or because I've become a top client?"
We'd never discussed how much I told my father, or how little.
"He doesn't know about us."
I paused, making sure no one was around to hear us. Until I knew for sure what was happening between us, it didn't feel right to tell him.
"You don't have to explain yourself."
"I don't?" I couldn't have disagreed more. Our relationship had deepened. It wasn't right to keep it from my father.
"Nah, you didn't tell him, and that's fine."
That didn't seem right. But I suddenly found myself outside the door to his office, and there was no more time to discuss this. Before I knocked, my hand rested flat against the wooden door. I took a deep breath and looked at Derek. The first time Reed had introduced himself to my father, he'd been wearing a suit that cost as much as my mortgage, and shoes that had probably been buffed that morning. Derek wore jeans, boots, and a red flannel, a uniform that had become sexier than any suit Reed owned. But I felt a distance between us, and I didn't like it. And I didn't like that he had shut down rather than telling me what was wrong.
"Are you ready?"
I asked. He nodded.
"After you."
13. Derek. "Frankie?" Mr. Jordan said as he stood in the doorway. I waited several paces behind her. "I hope you have Mr. Block with you."
"I do." She moved inside and I followed.
"Mr. Block," he said, walking around his desk to stand before me. He wasn't as tall as me, but he was clean-shaven and sterile-looking, with a stare just like his daughter. "It's a pleasure to meet you." I gripped his hand, surprised by his handshake, firm and extremely controlled, the perfect picture of professionalism. With an influence like this, there was no wonder why my pink ivory was so proper and refined. "Derek, please." We locked eyes. "And the pleasure is mine, Mr. Jordan." "Call me Garrett." He released my hand and returned to his chair, as I did a quick scan of the room. The areas of his building I had seen so far were outfitted in custom furnishings and luxury fixtures, and his office was no exception. The decor was ultra-contemporary, with cold tones and almost piercing blasts of color, similar to his dark suit and the bright orange in his tie. It was clear that he liked luxury, to be surrounded by it, to be dressed in it. He didn't see that when he looked at me, but I didn't need a fancy office or a suit to know what I had or what I was worth. I had everything I needed. That included Frankie. I just fucking hoped she wouldn't be taken away from me. I hadn't replied to Reed's first text message. I hadn't thought I needed to. Frankie would make her choice, and I was obviously it. But based on his second text, which had come just minutes before I'd arrived at Frankie's office, it sounded like Reed had done a little more digging. "If you think ignoring me will make me go away, you're wrong. I go after what's mine, and I don't fight fair. Randy told me you don't either. Or maybe your sister told. It looks like she's the one doing your dirty work, you fucking coward. I'll see you on the other side of this game, and she will be mine. He had no idea what he was talking about. No one was doing my dirty work for me. Randy wouldn't have told him that, and neither would Hayden. Reed had a bunch of miscellaneous pieces, and he didn't know how to put them together. I didn't want to bring Frankie into this. I sure as hell didn't want to rehash the past and speak about those moments. Moments that were filled with the most intolerable pain. But I couldn't avoid it any longer. She needed to hear it all from me, not from him. "Why don't you take a seat, Derek?" Garrett said, bringing me back to the present. Frankie waited for me to pick a chair, so I took the far one and she slid in after me. Derek dropped off the purchase agreement, and Bree is processing it now. I anticipate a quick closing, and with the brokers open scheduled in just a few weeks and our international ads dropping next Monday, I expect many more offers to follow. I nodded toward Frankie. She's impressive. That she is. Her cheeks didn't redden as deeply as I expected them to. I could tell the compliment flattered her, but in front of her father she was much more reserved. Men like him didn't always realize what they had, and sometimes they had to be reminded. I knew that, because I was one. Frankie understands my vision more so than any realtor I've ever worked with, I said. She doesn't just appreciate my craftsmanship, she endorses it too. It's a relief to find someone in this market who shares the same goals as me. To some, it may just be another building. But not to me, and not to her. I'm happy she's meeting your expectations, Derek. As our top agent, I trust you're in the best possible hands. If he only knew how capable those hands and those lips were. After our talk, I was scared to fucking death and neither would ever touch me again. As fragile as she had been about making things work between us, I didn't want her to end our relationship because I'd kept her in the dark. She was the first woman I'd wanted to actually be with since Taylor, and it had only been a few days since she'd fully given herself to me. I couldn't lose her now. She's more than met my expectations, I confirmed. She's exceeded them. You should be proud of her. You've raised quite a daughter and quite a gifted agent. Frankie smiled awkwardly at her father and stood from her chair, resting behind it with her hands on the wooden frame. Derek's a busy man, she said. I don't want to keep him longer than we have to. Thanks for stopping in, Derek. Garrett went to shake my hand, this time just reaching across his desk. I'm glad we finally got the opportunity to meet. Should you need my help, don't be afraid to reach out. I moved next to Frankie. If you find yourself in the area, you should stop by Timber Towers. I'd like to show you the building. I might just do that. I followed Frankie into the hallway and we began walking back toward her wing. I could feel the emotion coming off her body, and I knew she sensed mine. I didn't know what would happen once she closed the door to her office, but I knew she would finally hear the truth. What she did with it was something I couldn't control. He knows what he has in me, she whispered. No, he doesn't. Do you think your comment is going to change the way he thinks? I didn't have time to give her an answer. We had arrived at Bree's desk and she was handing Frankie a piece of paper. I'm sorry to interrupt, Bree said, but this just came in, and it requires your immediate attention. Frankie read the sheet, which looked like a client's closing statement. He's changing the price? Now? We're minutes from going into escrow. I know, Bree nodded. When I tried to discuss it with the agent, it didn't go over well. Has Giovanni seen this? Yup. It's been an ugly few minutes. Oh, God. Frankie turned around, her arms folded over her stomach. We both needed her, and she didn't know what to do. This was the balance she had to establish, and she had to know I supported it. Come by my place tonight. We'll talk there. You're staying in the city?
Yes.
I don't know what time I'll be finished. This could take a while and take as long as you need. I'll be there waiting for you. Seconds passed as we stared at each other. I wanted to pull her into my arms, to feel her again, to smell her hair and the perfume on her cheeks before I walked out. But I couldn't do that here. Not in her office.
and not until I was honest with her.
Thank you, she said.
I nodded at her, then at Bree, and continued walking to the elevator.
14. Frankie. It was after 7 by the time I returned to the office. It had taken hours of negotiation, but the seller, the agent, and Giovanni had finally settled on a price, for the second time. The sales floor was quiet, except for the humming of the computers and the ringing of unanswered phones. A single light shone over Bree's desk. She was the only one still here on this side of the building. The rest of the area was dark. She appeared deep in thought as I approached.
You look like you could use a glass of wine.
I sat in the seat in front of her desk, lifting my feet out of my heels so I could rub my toes. They were killing me from all the walking I'd done today, and all the pacing. She slowly looked up. I didn't like the expression on her face.
I could use more than one. You will too when you see this.
She reached inside her desk, removed a folder, and placed it in front of me.
I got what you asked for.
My brows rose, unsure what she was referring to. The information on Taylor, she clarified. It had been such a long day I'd forgotten, and I'd only sent Bree that text 2 days ago. I didn't expect her to get the information so quickly.
What did you find out?
I lifted the top of the folder.
Don't read it now, she told me. Go home, pour yourself a glass of wine, and take your time with it.
I released the folder, searching her eyes for an answer. I had a feeling that whatever was waiting for me on those papers was going to surprise me.
This day is about to get worse, isn't it?
She shrugged.
Derek did say he's staying in the city tonight, so maybe there's hope.
She had a point, but there was something bothering him, and I had a feeling it had to do with me. All I wanted was to strip off my clothes in the entryway of his townhouse and have him fuck every bit of stress out of me. I was pretty sure that wasn't going to happen now. Instead, tonight was going to be full of talking, and when Derek finally shared his feelings, something was going to change between us. I just knew it. I could feel it. My hope was that it would bring us closer, but that wasn't guaranteed. I pulled Giovanni's paperwork out of my bag and exchanged it for the folder.
Do I want to know how you got all the information on her?
Her lips spread wide and her nose scrunched. That was her guilty grin.
Definitely not. And most of what I gave you is off the books, so, you know, be careful with it.
I put my heels back on, draped my bag over my shoulder, and stood.
Call me if you need me. I'm going to head home now, too, she said.
She rounded her desk and hugged me.
I know this has been a bit rocky, but I think things are about to clear up.
I leaned back so I could look at her face.
What makes you think that?
I just have a hunch, and usually my hunches are right.
God, I hoped she was right.
I placed a glass of wine on the coffee table in my living room, set a full bottle near it so I wouldn't have to get up for a refill, and dropped the folder between them. Then I sat on the floor and crossed my legs with all of it in front of me. I didn't know how else to prepare, so I wrapped my fingers around the stem of the glass, held it to my lips, and lifted the top of the folder. I sipped while I read the first sheet. It was a brief bio, listing Taylor's marital status, date of birth, and her social security number. It didn't surprise me Bree could find this information, since she seemed to have connections all over the city. What surprised me was how accessible all the information was. Accessible and somewhat scary, knowing someone could find this information about me, too. As I read it over, the page explained that she wasn't currently employed, but had an affiliation to White Construction. White Construction? I repeated the name in my head again, trying to figure out why it sounded so familiar. A quick search on my phone brought me to the company's website and a list of developments it had built along with their locations. I'd heard of only one project they had done in Boston. It had been a small build-out, less than 30 units. It wasn't of the best quality, according to my standards, but it sold out rather quickly. I hadn't taken any of my clients there, but one of the agency's buyers had purchased a unit. She'd said her company was transferring her to Boston, where they were opening an office, yet this showed she was unemployed. I wondered about her affiliation to White Construction and what it entailed. Maybe she really did marketing for them and it was off the books, but she certainly didn't work for an agency like she'd said. And a construction company wouldn't be selling t-shirts and fun pens as she'd suggested. I flipped the page where a detailed list of her job history was broken down by year and employer. She'd worked as a waitress in Miami, a short-term admin at a dentist office in Denver, and several more waitressing jobs in Phoenix. Her last job was at an Italian restaurant, and it ended several months ago. There were no marketing agencies listed, and definitely no titles that would give her the experience. The only thing that had been truthful so far were the states she had mentioned living in. If her affiliation to White Construction were a paid position, it couldn't have had anything to do with her marketing experience. She clearly didn't have any. And if she'd been unemployed for the past few months, how was she affording an apartment that cost $5,000 a month? The third page showed all the addresses where she had lived over the years. In each of the cities, she had moved multiple times, never staying in a place longer than a year. She had evictions on her record, collection agencies after her for unpaid utilities. Something wasn't right. I pulled out my phone again and logged into my company's network. I scrolled through the leasing database, searching for Taylor's name. One of the agents had taken her to look at several units today, which meant we must have her application on record. Sifting through her file, it showed her background and credit check hadn't yet cleared, but she had passed the financial inspection. A picture of her bank statement had been scanned into the system, showing a sum of over $20,000 in her checking account, proving she could afford the $5,000 rental payment. This didn't make any sense. I returned to the folder and flipped to the next page where her finances were broken down. Her tax return from the previous year showed she had made less than $25,000 the whole year. How had she so suddenly received such a large increase in pay? My phone started to ring from somewhere on the floor. Once my fingers found it, I automatically swiped the screen and held it up to my ear. Hello? I moved on to the tax return from the previous year, where about the same income was listed. This is Frankie.
It's me.
The sound of his voice made me freeze. It was too late to hang up. Why hadn't I checked the caller ID before I'd answered?
Reed, what can I do for you?
I've been calling and texting you for days. Jesus, Frankie. What the hell does it take to get you to pick up the phone?
Why wouldn't he just leave me alone? I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to text. I didn't want to be relentlessly pursued. There was nothing to pursue, nothing to salvage. We were done. I didn't think I could make that any more obvious.
I'm hanging up.
No,
he yelled. You need to listen to me.
I don't need to do anything.
Please, at least hear me out. It's about Derek.
Anger was building inside me, not just from my lack of patience when it came to Reed, but at the mention of Derek's name. How dare he speak to me about him? For all the pain Reed had put me through, he had no right to talk about someone I actually cared about.
Do you know that Hayden and Derek have different last names, but they were born from the same parents?
I didn't recall Derek ever mentioning Hayden's last name. There was no reason for him to. And all this time, I had just assumed it was Block.
I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation.
Reasonable, he said as he laughed. Your boyfriend is a fucking psycho, and he had to change his name. I wouldn't call that reasonable.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Then why, when I search the internet for Derek Block, are the results only related to his business? There aren't any mentions of him in high school or college, nothing from his personal life. Before he started his company, Derek Block didn't exist.
There was a reason for all this. I was sure of it. Derek was private, closed in, protective of his emotions. But I didn't get the sense he was a liar.
I'm sure there aren't any articles about my younger years either, Reed.
I wasn't an athlete. I didn't receive top honors. I worked. And I blended in as a child and young adult. Until I got my real estate license, there was no reason for there to be any articles about me. The same could have been true for Derek.
I knew you were going to say something like that. I'm looking at one right now. Your name listed in the newspaper when your Girl Scout troop sold the most cookies in the country. You broke national records.
I was 7 when that happened.
So you see my point, then. Everyone has a past that can be tracked, Frankie. Everyone. Except your Derek Block or Derek White or whatever the fuck his name is.
What did you call him?
Hayden's last name is White. I made the connection and searched, and found an article on a Derek White having been at the scene of a construction accident. No pictures to confirm it. But enough of a connection to come to a pretty solid conclusion.
Derek White? I have to go.
Frankie.
Goodbye, Reed. I hung up, but continued to hold my phone, once again pulling up the website for White Construction. I searched through the different pages until I found the one that outlined the company's history. It had been founded over 25 years ago by Randy White. Randy. It had to be him, the man Derek despised. I needed to figure this all out, so I began summarizing the points I knew to be true. Taylor's employment history wasn't consistent with what she had said. Her financial records showed she barely scraped by. Somehow she was able to afford a high-end apartment in the city. She was affiliated to White Construction, which was owned by Randy White. Hayden's last name was White. Derek's last name was... White, too? His tattoo. The one that ran from his armpit to his waist. White. He had told me it was his favorite color, and I didn't believe him. Your favorite color is in the beige family, or whatever color lingerie I happen to be wearing when you take it off with your teeth. But it's definitely not white. Why had Taylor come back to the city? It wasn't for the so-called job she talked about. Maybe it was for a different job, one with Randy White, and one that was off the books. Was it Randy she was talking to in the bathroom at the restaurant? I'll stay on him, don't worry, she had said.
I'll get everything you need, but you've got to give me a few more days.
My head started to spin all the details together. Taylor was working for Derek's enemy. She wanted something from Derek, something she could give to Randy. Still, none of it explained why Derek's last name wasn't really Block, or why he hadn't told me the truth. As his agent, I understood why he wouldn't share that information. But as his girlfriend, that was something important enough to mention. He had opened up so much during our weekend in Portsmouth, but not enough to tell me who he really was. And if he hadn't told me who he really was, what else had he lied about? I picked up my phone again and called him. After 4 rings, I was sent to voicemail. I called again as I tucked all the papers back into the folder, stuck it into my bag, and grabbed a jacket. I had to get to the bottom of this. I just hoped his answer wasn't going to signal the end of us.
15. Derek. A knock at the front door woke me. I had been asleep on the couch, my feet resting on the coffee table, the remote still in my hand and a movie playing on the TV. The clock on the cable box showed it was 8:15. Frankie had finished with work earlier than I thought she would. I walked to the front door, checking the peephole before I opened it. It was dark outside. The street lamps barely lit the space in front of the door, and I'd forgotten to turn on the light. There was still enough of a glow to show the bright blonde hair and plump lips of Taylor Hall. Son of a bitch. I cracked the door. Don't tell me my mom gave you this address, too. She laughed and held up a bottle of wine. It's the same one you ordered at the restaurant. Let me in for a minute so we can talk. I'm not in the mood to talk to you, Taylor. She was the last person I wanted to see standing there. And why the hell was she here anyway? Her fucking balls kept getting bigger. Your mom would be pissed if she knew you kept a lady standing in the cold. My mom isn't here. You shouldn't be either.
2 minutes. Her whining was becoming obnoxious. Derek, don't make me beg.
What do you want? She reached inside her jacket and removed a stack of papers.
I was hoping you could help me pick a place.
She smiled. Unless you want me to rent the unit 2 doors down from you. According to this list, it's still available. I knew it hadn't been rented out yet, and I knew I should have bought that damn place when the owner had told me he was putting it up for sale. Some out-of-state investor had snagged it, rehabbed the whole unit, and turned it into a rental. I don't want you living next door. I hadn't even bothered to hide my true feelings.
Then let me in so you can pick where you want me to live.
It wouldn't hurt to choose a location for her that was on the other side of the city. Then she wouldn't need anything else from me, and I'd be able to get rid of her. That was the theory, anyway. I lifted my arm as I opened the door a little wider. 5 minutes, then you're out of here. She ducked underneath my elbow and hurried inside.
That's all I need.
When she reached the living room, she stopped and looked around.
Wow.
It wasn't an open floor plan like my place in Portsmouth. My townhouse had been a full gut. The only thing I'd kept original were the bones of the unit. Everything else had been redone in a sleek, clean, contemporary style. It was sexy and unemotional, full of gadgets and unique upgrades.
This isn't anything like your other house, she said.
Actually, it doesn't feel anything like you at all. She had that part right.
But whoa, it's a hot place.
She turned toward me. A sentimental look crossed her face.
You've really done well for yourself.
Give me the papers. She handed me the documents as she moved into the kitchen, grabbing 2 tumblers from one of the cabinets and my wine opener from the drawer. I didn't say make yourself at home. She placed a glass in front of me on the table and filled it.
How else do you expect me to open the bottle? You didn't exactly offer.
I don't plan on having you stay long enough to drink it. She rolled her eyes before I glanced back at the listings. This one is nice, I said, holding out the sheet that showed a unit in the north end.
It doesn't have an elevator.
It's a townhouse, Taylor. It doesn't need an elevator.
But it's 3 stories. That's so many stairs.
She swallowed half her glass and poured herself more. I looked at the next page. What about this one? It has an elevator. It was in Cambridge, which was even farther from Frankie and me.
It's a little dated on the inside, and the walls were yellow.
I'm sure they'll paint it for you. She shrugged.
Maybe.
Maybe. She hadn't bothered to ask, because she really didn't care. I dropped the sheets on the table. Those are 2 perfectly suited apartments and 2 lame-ass excuses. What's really going on here, Taylor? She walked to the freezer and removed a bottle of vodka. She didn't bother to pour any in a glass. She drank it straight from the bottle. After several swallows, she wiped her mouth and said,
I really have to talk to you, Derek.
Her voice was aggravating the hell out of me. So was the look in her eyes, the position of her body, the way she had gulped that liquor like she needed its courage.
I don't want to talk. I want you to... When I asked about your uncle the other night, you completely shut down, she said. What's happened to you? You never used to shut down around me. You used to tell me everything. You trusted me.
Of course I trusted you. I fucking loved you.
Derek, I just meant...
I don't give a shit what you meant. You walked out of my life when you decided you wanted someone who made more money than me, who could give you more than I could. We've both moved on. What I don't understand is why you're back. There was a knock at the door. We both heard it at the same time, our heads turning toward the front of the townhouse. Unless Taylor had invited a friend along, the only person it could be was Frankie. A tipsy-looking Taylor standing in my kitchen wouldn't look good in front of Frankie. And the longer I delayed this, the worse it would appear. Motherfucker. I opened the door, wishing it wouldn't be her on the other side. Frankie, as I reached for her hand to help her in, I felt Taylor behind me, her body much closer than I wanted it to be.
Frankie saw her as she stepped inside, her eyes narrowed and she chewed her bottom lip. I'd come to know those reactions as something she did when she was turned on. It was obviously what she did when she was confused, too. "What's she doing here, Derek?" The three of us stood in the entryway. I stared at Frankie and I felt Taylor's eyes on me. Frankie's glance darted between the two of us. "Derek's helping me choose a place to live," Taylor said. "Is that true?" Frankie asked me. "Yes, that's true, and actually we're finished now. Taylor was just leaving." Taylor held her wine glass in the air and drank from it. It made the situation look even worse. I had to fix this, to explain that nothing was going on between Taylor and me. I took a step toward Frankie, my hands reaching for her waist. "Baby, listen." "No," she snapped, moving away from me. "You listen." She pulled a folder out of her bag. Inside were several documents, and she fanned them in front of my face. "It looks like Taylor isn't here for the reason she told us. She's working for White Construction." My pulse thundered as I took the papers and read them. Taylor was working for White. Even worse was that somehow Frankie had identified White Construction. And if she knew about them, there was a chance she knew about my last name. Before I handled that, I needed to know if Taylor really was the fucking traitor that Frankie was accusing her to be. I turned toward Taylor. "You're working for him?" I yelled. Her face drained of all its color. Her hand shook as she gripped her empty glass. "Derek." That one word gave me the answer I needed on her. What was missing from these sheets was any information about me. "Frankie, where did you get all this?" Before I made a mistake and said something I regretted, I had to know her source was authentic, and that it wasn't Reed trying to make things worse. "It doesn't matter where I got it," she said. "What matters is that I found it, and you didn't." "Is Reed the one who gave it to you? Would it make a difference?" I didn't answer. Another layer had just unraveled between us. "No, it wasn't him. Frankie." She stood taller, her voice getting louder. "I found more, if you're wondering. Derek Block, or Derek White." There it was, the missing piece. My missing piece. Someone was helping her put all this together, but I knew she hadn't figured out everything. She looked at Taylor, who was swaying on her feet. "Do I even know who you are? Has everything you've told me been a lie?" There were tears in her eyes, like there had been the night she confessed in the rain. She was jumping to conclusions, and most of them were false. I didn't blame her for that. "Frankie." I reached for her, but it was too late. She wriggled her hand away from me and ran through the door. "I don't know who's lying to whom here, Derek, but I have this sickening suspicion that you don't think I'm worthy of the truth." She took another step and disappeared down the block. I felt an angry heat burn a path across my chest as I looked over to Taylor. "Tell me what the fuck is going on, right now." I looked like a goddamn fool because of her, but I looked like a liar because of me. Because I'd been reluctant to reopen that wound. She stumbled back and used the couch to regain her balance. The wine, the vodka, both had hit her. Hard. She knew she wouldn't be able to lie her way out of anything now. "I needed money," she said bluntly. "And he offered me lots of it." "Randy?" "Yep." She pulled her hair to one side and rubbed the base of her throat. She was nervous, and she should have been. If she hadn't been a woman, I would have knocked her out by now, or worse. "He gave me $20,000 and offered to move me back here and pay my rent and give me spending money if I found out what's going on with you. He thinks you're up to something and he wants to know what it is." "Get the fuck out of my house." "Derek. I don't want to hear it, Taylor." I walked over to the kitchen table, grabbed the listings and her bottle of wine. I shoved it all in her hands and pushed her to the door. She begged me to stop the whole time, but I didn't give a fuck about her whining or pleading. I wanted her out. It had been stupid of me to let her in, to let her anywhere near Frankie. I would never make that mistake again. I held the door open, gripped her arm, and brought her outside. "Don't ever come back, do you understand me? And if I hear you're anywhere near Frankie or one of her agents, I will ruin you." I know, Derek. I know.
She stepped clumsily onto the sidewalk. For what it's worth, I'm sorry.
It's worth nothing. I slammed the door shut and reached in my back pocket for my phone. It wasn't there. I rushed to the couch and found it on top of a cushion. There were two missed calls from Frankie. Both had come in at least 45 minutes ago, when I'd been sleeping. If only they had woken me up. I scrolled through my contacts until I found his name. It was kept there so I wouldn't lose it. I hadn't called it since I was a kid. A kid who didn't know any better. But I knew the truth now.
Son? Randy said as he answered. I'm not your fucking son.
I didn't yell. I didn't even raise my voice. I didn't have to. My tone made my emotions extremely clear.
Is there a reason for your call?
I walked over to the window and watched Taylor climb into a taxi.
You've got my attention. Now if you want something from me, be a man and ask me.
I take it you've gotten reacquainted with Taylor.
He was so smug.
You really did your homework, didn't you? That skeleton was buried a long time ago, Randy. It was a nice try, but that's all it was. A try.
He laughed. I've got plenty more up my sleeve, son. Hopefully I won't have to use any of them.
I gritted my teeth together.
Speak. Now. I know you've been sniffing around, he said confidently. Why don't you tell me what you're looking for so we can settle this once and for all?
Settle. There would be no settling.
Fuck you, Randy.
I hung up before he had a chance to say anything else. I didn't give a fuck that he was my uncle, my father's brother. Family didn't hurt family. Brothers didn't hurt brothers. But he had hurt his. No, he had murdered his. I'd watched it happen. The scream, the fall, the death of my father. And I wouldn't rest until that motherfucker was buried, too. To be continued. Unblocked. Episode 5. 1. Derek. I had no idea how long it had been since I'd hung up on Randy. The phone still rested in my palm, and his voice still rang in my goddamn ears. The anger in my chest was making it hard to take a deep breath. That motherfucker. He knew better than anyone how to get under my skin. He thought he was so fucking smart using Taylor to get information out of me. It was a bold move, not a smart one. It hadn't earned him anything other than a confirmation that Frankie and I were together, a confirmation that I wouldn't let put her at risk. If Randy came anywhere near my pink ivory, I would kill him. I paced, walking past the kitchen to the living room and back. Then I did it again, my anger building with each step. On my third trip toward the freezer, I pulled out the vodka Taylor had sipped from and swallowed down a few shots. It was starting to feel like things were slipping out of my control. Hayden was putting herself at risk while uncovering more victims every day. Randy was digging up skeletons I'd buried for years, and Frankie felt lied to. She had a sinking suspicion that she didn't think she was worthy of the truth. But she was worthy of it. And of so much more. I just hadn't been ready to share it with her. Ready or not, it had to come out now. Our relationship couldn't afford another setback. I scrolled through my contacts and found her number. After 4 rings, it went to voicemail, so I hung up and called again. It went to voicemail a second time. If Frankie wasn't going to pick up, I knew who would. I scrolled through my contacts again.
"Hello, Mr. Block?" Bree said.
I carried the vodka to the kitchen table and sat, swirling the bottle above the smooth mahogany surface.
"Is Frankie with you?"
"No. I thought she went to your place."
The hint of concern in her voice told me she was telling the truth.
"She was here." I pressed the bottle to my lips and swallowed. "But she left."
"Well, I haven't spoken to her since she left the office, and that was before she came to your place. You would be the last person to have seen her."
I checked the time on the microwave. It was still early enough for her to go out.
Is there somewhere she likes to hide out? Maybe a bar or something?
Have you tried calling her? That works for most people, you know.
I had zero patience.